Hello there, welcome to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly goal show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. And I'll get this out of the way early. Don't forget, if you like the show, do hit that like button, subscribe, share and comment. In the comments last week, of course, Steve, the social media team kindly put up your clip from Radio 5 Live's phone-in from the previous Saturday, where you were euphoric, let's say, and slightly inebriated and rang in to express your delight about the Weymouth great escape. Has the euphoria lasted through to this week? I noticed, is that a little Poland shirt you've got on?
Yeah, that is the Poland shirt. Yeah, the euphoria has definitely lasted through. It was a real feel-good Sunday. So I was on the beach, the sun was shining, my kids were riding donkeys on Weymouth Beach at the same time as Little Moronki, as I'm now officially nicknaming him. Little Moronki was winning the Italian Open. So I'm so pleased for a very pleasant man, as we were discussing last week. And don't give up now, Little Moronki. Ryder Cup's in sight.
He's not really. If only he was little, if he was like just Loughton's height, it would work properly, wouldn't it?
But I think that's the great thing. Yeah, that's the irony of the nickname. Yeah, because he's probably one of the tallest players on the tour, and I think it's going to stick. I've got my work cut out, but I'm going to try and get that as an official nickname.
I think you'll struggle there, and you'll have an even harder job than my one with Scotty the Crocus Scheffler. That didn't work either, did it? Did the kids enjoy their donkey ride? Because I think it's quite nice when you still have those kind of throwbacks to the past, but you just hope that they weren't like on their phones while riding along in complete indifference.
No, it's a quintessentially English seaside town, you know, Weymouth, and long live the donkeys. They loved every minute of it. No, they want the phone in sight, and Sunday was magnificent. I know you're not a big monarchist, but there was a coronation concert going on in the background. The donkeys were right being ridden, and I had the Sky go on the phone watching Little Moronki.
And how much does a donkey ride set you back these days?
It's £5. £5. Yeah, I think inflation has even hit the donkeys. But they work hard, don't they? I mean, they're so dutiful. Up and down, up and down. They've got great work rate, just like Adrian, Little Moronki, because he's one of the hardest workers on the tour, and it's all paying off for him now.
Absolutely. And just going back to the 5 Live phone, and I listened to the clip afterwards. My favourite bit was the... You were sort of semi-celebrating Weymouth's win, but also berating the Arsenal fan who'd be moaning, weren't you? And you were going on and on about him. And my favourite bit at the very end is you said, so, we've escaped and we're delighted, but I don't want to hear from that Arsenal fan again. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with the phone-in genre, Steve, but they tend not to go back to a previous caller. Yeah, so you didn't really need to issue that warning, I would say.
I don't listen to the phone-ins, and it was my friend that phoned up. I didn't want to be on there, but he had that last gasp bottle moment, and I was on. But I apologise.
It could have been worse, couldn't it? It could have been worse. I thought it was good.
Oh, it could have been a lot worse. There was no need for me to keep going on about the Arsenal fan. I apologise if I upset him.
It was called Fred, I believe.
Oh, was he? Mm. Yes. Sorry, Fred. Yeah, we've all got our issues.
Anyway, we've got four tournaments to preview this week, so we don't have too much ado, had we?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'll start with our little review of last week. Ronk. It's never easy, is it, Steve? I'm like, he went into the last round in really good shape, birdied the first, and I'd backed him as well, and I was just hoping he'd just pull away and we'd have a nice stress-free afternoon, but it's never easy, is it? Longasque and Guerrier, they just wouldn't go away.
That's true, but his short game is so improved, didn't he? He used to have an issue with his chipping. He was a really bad chipper, but his scrambling skills on Sunday were fantastic. He was chipping him from all angles, and he looks the complete player now. I think he's going to be a real asset on the Ryder Cup team. Little donkey joke there that went over your head. But I'm excited about it.
Oh, sorry. Very good.
I think Little Moronki...
very good.
I'm convinced Little Moronki will be taking his precious load to the Ryder Cup. I think Victor Perez, again, he performed well on that. So that's three good spins from Victor Perez. I think he's going to go well. He likes the Marco Simone. He finished ninth last week. So I think Victor Perez did his Ryder Cup chances the world of good as well. Robert McIntyre. I know there's a lot of Robert McIntyre fans. He's a Scottish hero. He was the big disappointment last week, wasn't he? I don't know if
he withdrew, didn't he?
Yeah, carded an opening round 73, then didn't even tee up in the second round. He had all this taping on his arms, but he had that the previous tournament as well. But he said it was a bad back. So, fitness concerns for Bobby McIntyre fans, and you know, he's the big Ryder Cup negative last week.
I noticed Sky Bet are still 10 to 11, Moronk, to make the Ryder Cup team. Do you think there's a bit of value in that?
Yeah. He's got his tail up. He's got big claims there. Luke Donald may well pick him if he needs to. But yeah, you'd fancy him to qualify automatically now.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Right then. And then over in America, I say it's never easy. It was easy if you back Wyndham Clark. That was a super duper display in the Wells Fargo, winning by 4 shots in the end, but breezed to it. I mean, he could virtually putt his way up the 18th. Steve, he looks like he's always been a bit of a class act. You've always had a soft spot for him. You've tipped him a few times. What can this guy achieve now? Could that be a stepping stone to, you know, something quite big?
Well, he's improved his noggin, hasn't he? Which, he was talking about a lot. You know, this is a triumph for training the mind, this Wyndham Clark victory, because he's always had bundles of talent, never won anything, not even on the Corn Ferry Tour. But he says he's been reading lots of books on stoicism. He's employed a sports psychologist as well recently. And yeah, that back nine performance was a shocking back nine performance, shockingly good. Given what we'd seen previously, because he started the day with a 2-shot lead. Xander Schauffele, one of the best players in the world, overtakes him through just 7 holes. So it looks like the same old story for Clark. But yeah, he turned into Superman on that back nine. He made 5 birdies in 8 holes in the lead, and one before. So yeah, I think if he's got his mind sorted, yeah, the world's his oyster, because you know technically he's got everything. You know, he's a great driver, great putter.
It was a good win, wasn't it? 70-1. Well done if you found Wyndham Clark. A little word on Schauffele, Steve. I hate the bottler term. I think it's massively overused in all of sport. Like, Arsenal haven't bottled the league. They just haven't been able to match. And they might still win it, but they haven't been able to match the might of Man City. Every time someone loses, they've bottled it. That I don't really believe bottling is a huge thing. But I would say out of the top sort of dozen elite golfers in the world, would you think it's fair to say that with Schauffele, he's probably one of those, if you could say that he kind of backs out of it a little readily in the heat of battle, it might be him?
He can get a bit clumsy with puttering, Ann, can't he? And the putter was to blame. You know, he blamed the putter on Sunday. He described it as a flat Sunday, which, as you say, it happens, doesn't it? You don't want to be calling him a bottler. You could just say he had a flat Sunday. Yeah, he won plenty of tournaments last year. But the putting was poor on Sunday. But he's in rock solid form now. I'm not prepared to be too negative on Schauffele. He's still a big runner for the forthcoming stateside majors.
Okay. Any other takeouts for the weekend?
Well, it'd be remiss of us not to discuss Rory McIlroy, given the fanfare coming in. Thought it very interesting that he didn't even schedule a pre-tournament media conference. Didn't fancy a pre-tournament media conference. Remember, I was talking about it'd be packed in for that one. He obviously realised that was the case. Didn't want to answer questions about the Masters. He just did a few peripheral one-to-ones. And he switched putters again, went back to the TaylorMade Spider X. And he tied 47th. He has a really humdrum performance on one of his favourite courses. So, yeah, worries for Bobby McIntyre fans, worries for Rory McIlroy fans, because he still looks shell-shocked from what happened at the Masters. He's got a great USPGA record. Got the USPGA next week. McIlroy's USPGA record is sensational. He's a member of Oak Hill, which is where they're going. You know, he knows the course better than most. But Augusta was a gut buster. You know, it's a tongue twister, but Augusta was a gut buster. Is he over it? I'm not sure he is.
Okay, fine. Should we look ahead now?
Well, we've got such a busy week, and we've four tournaments. Big opportunity.
Absolutely. 4 tournaments. We'll start with the AT&T Byron Nelson Classic, and we had an overnight defect to second favourite Jordan Spieth to play. He's got wrist issues, which has left Scotty Scheffler very short in the betting, 7-2. And then Tyrrell Hatton, after a great week last week, went very close, played really well. He's second favourite at 14s. Jason Day's 16s. Tom Kim, 18s. Kyunghoon Lee is 22, along with Hideki Matsuyama. Matt Kuchar, 28. So look, Matt Kuchar's 7th favourite. So it's not that deep a tournament. Steve, if Scheffler looked at the invite, at the entry list for this, would he be thinking to himself, whoa, hang on a sec, where's all my big gun rivals?
A week before the USPGA, I'm surprised he's even there. You know, it's a home state gig for Scheffler. He hasn't got far to go. He's got a love affair with the area, so that's why he's there. But I think it's going to be a very gentle warm up for him. He's not in my plans.
Okie dokes. Right, well, that's intriguing. Well, before we find out who is in your plans, tell us all about the venue, if you would.
Yeah, TPC Craig Ranch, McKinney, Texas, 7,414 yards. Par 71 this year. One of the par fives has been transformed to a par four this year. We've only got 3 par fives. Craig Ranch hosted the Byron Nelson for the first time in 2021. So we've got 2 years of form to go on. Generous fairways, relatively slow bent grass greens, not much rough. It's a doddle for professional golfers. We've got a bit of breeze for the first 3 days. Calms down on Sunday. 156 runners.
And who will it suit? What type of player then?
You have to bring a hot putter to proceedings. It's there to be overpowered. A little bit of breeze to keep the score in check. But a powerhouse putt and well should destroy this golf course.
Well, anyway, we'll start off with your main selection for the AT&T Byron Nelson.
It is Kyung Hoon Lee at 22-1, who is going for a three-peat this week. There's been two previous Byron Nelsons at Craig Ranch. They've both been won by Kyung Hoon Lee. He's 51 under par for 144 holes on this golf course. Why can't he complete that trick on Sunday? I cannot think of a satisfactory reply to that question.
I'm not going to give you one.
It's because there isn't one. He's a better player now than he was going into last year's title defense. He was world number 88 for that. He's world number 44 for this. He's since made his President's Cup debut in fine style. He won 2 points from 3 matches, including the singles victory. Yeah, he took great confidence from that. Last month, he posted a personal best for the majors, 23rd place in the Masters. And last week, he warmed up for this hat-trick bid with 8th place in the Wells Fargo Championship. This is a 31-year-old, never carried more self-belief, got his game in perfect order at the ideal time to retain his status as the King of McKinney. God save the King. God save the King.
Fantastic. Give us a fact I wouldn't know about Kyung Hoon Lee.
Young father. He had a pregnant wife for his first Byron Nelson victory, and then maybe for his second Byron Nelson victory. So that they'd be a little bit older for this one. So
Tot could be old enough to toddle onto the green at the point of victory. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Well, he might win the next 10 Byron Nelsons, and you just see the progression of this Tot. He's never been happier. He's never been happier as Kyung Hoon Lee. He's never been more confident. It's just classic. Punters just classically go, oh, you can't win another one. But why can't you win another one? He'll think he can win another one. He'd walk tall on this venue, tall as Adrian Moronk.
Brilliant. Okay. Kyung Hoon Lee, the main selection. Who's the number one danger?
You'll love this one. It's Davis Riley at 50-1, who lifted PGA Tour silverware in the Zurich Classic last month. He was the best player in that partnership. It was a pairs event, yes, but he was the best player in that partnership with Nick Hardy. Now's the time for Riley to claim a victory on his own. He's won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's contended loads of times on the PGA Tour. He lost a playoff last year for the Valspar Championship to Sam Burns. It's only a matter of time. The floodgates will open for Davis Riley. Such a quality golf swing.
Didn't he bomb out the week after the Zurich?
Yeah. Got off to a horror start and missed a cut, yeah. But don't worry about that. Freshens him up nicely for this. TPC Craig Ranch, a much better fit. He's played there once before. Finished ninth, but he opened with a 72. He got off to a terrible start in that. Opened with a 72. Back-to-back 64s to shoot up the leaderboard. So, yeah, Davis Riley, 50-1. Juicy, juicy price.
Excellent. I like the way you're doing slightly truncated reasoning because we've got so much to get to. Anyway, that's good work, that. Excellent. Okay, third in.
As I used to say on question time, bit of brevity, please. Taylor Montgomery, 40-1, who is the only man in this field who can get close to KH Lee as the potential King of McKinney, because Montgomery won the Korn Ferry Tour Q School event, which was staged at Craig Ranch in 2019. That was a 4-round affair, and Montgomery finished 18 under par. So Lee is the King of McKinney, Montgomery next in line to the throne, and it makes sense that this course should suit Montgomery. It sets up for an attacking powerhouse who putts well. He fits that description to a T, and he's the best putter on tour, in my humble opinion. I've never seen him putt bad.
Really?
He's phenomenal on the greens. This could easily be the week he finds top gear again. So 40-1, Taylor Montgomery.
The World Putting Championship should be a thing, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd watch.
It'd be absolutely brilliant. You could actually have that at like Wembley or somewhere, couldn't you? You could set up a really, really amazing, massive 18-hole putting green there.
Yeah. Or you could have a 500-yard putt. Thinking, you could have a putt the length of Wembley and then the winner, you have the best putters in the world, and the winner is the one that gets the 500-yard putt in. They spend all day there until someone holds that putt. That's a great idea.
Well, how can you putt something 500 yards?
It's possible, isn't it?
That'd be ridiculous.
No, it's probably not possible, is it? No.
Of course it's not.
I haven't thought that one through.
No. Okay, anyway, back to the AT&T.
We went Brevity.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, mate. Sorry. We can have some non-Brevity. Right, who's the fourth tip?
It's Joseph Bramlett.
I'm not sure you've ever tipped him before.
I'm not sure I ever tipped him, but I'll certainly be tipping him again. I like the cut of his jib. He's 70 to 1 for this. Definitely think he's good enough to win on the PGA Tour. I watched a lot of him at Pebble Beach. You might watch a lot of him at Pebble Beach.
I didn't, mate, no. I wouldn't know what he looks like.
Technically really impressive. Yeah, superb ball striker. When he turns up for a tournament and has a hot week with putter, putting's the weakness, but even bad putters have good weeks with the putter occasionally. When that happens, I think Bramlett's going to get off the mark on the PGA Tour. He's won on the Korn Ferry Tour. Korn Ferry Tour Championship in 2021. Four-shot victory, closed with a pair of 65s. He's settled in the higher grade now. And this season, he's been popping up, you know, much more regularly with some great golf. 12th in the Fortinet, 9th in the Houston Open in Texas, 13th in the Farms Insurance Open, 7th at Pebble Beach, 10th in the Mexico Open last month. So cemented on the PGA Tour. He was 7th at TPC Craig Ranch in 2021. Brevity.
No, good. A strong case. And finally, who's the fifth tip?
A 200-1 chance as we live and breathe, and that's Pearson Coody, a Texan who is relishing a chance to tee up in his home state this week. This is a player going places fast. He was an amateur superstar at the University of Texas. He's already won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's only 23. He's an all-guns-blazing type at the moment. You know, he comes out, really attacks. That approach works on this golf course, and he's got his twin brother to keep him company this week. Parker has also got a sponsor's invite. Parker would just be hoping to make the cut. Pearson will have eyes on the trophy.
Nice. Jolly good. Quick word on Scheffler. What price would he have had to been for you to have bitten?
Oh, gosh. I just, I don't know. 7-1. Sorry, I dropped my pen there. 7-8-1. I don't know. I just see this as a gentle warm-up for the USPGA. And remember, this is an easy course. You know, it's much more difficult for the best players to, you know, show their superiority on easy courses. You know, if Scheffler carries a cold putter this week, which he has quite often this year, despite it being a successful year, there's been times when he's putted abysmally. You can't win this week with a cold putter. Do you want to be taking 7-2? It's not for me.
Okay, let's move on to the Soudal Open, which takes place in Belgium on the DP World Tour. Here are the indicative prices. As we always say on the Sweet Spot Shop Around, you might get better prices and also, very importantly, different place terms. Alexander Bjork is 16-1 favourite. From Thomas Detry and Adrian Ottagi, who are both 18, as is Yannick Paul. 20-1, Thjorben Olesen and Jorge Campillo. And then there's a little gap out to Callum Shinquin, who's 30s, and it's 33 bars. So very much standard fare on the DP World Tour. Belgium is the host country. What's the host course?
It's Rincon International Golf Club. Cannot get that putting tournament out of my mind now. Make it 100 yard, and they're all dead.
I still think 100 yards, Steve, is a...
Well, make it the maximum length.
Okay, 100 yard putt on beautiful terrain is just about doable, I'd say.
Yeah. There we go. Right, let's park that for now. We'll come back to that. Promote it to the hills. Rincon International Golf Club.
I'll give Barry Hearn a call, right?
Yeah, exactly. Barry's the man to make it. Yeah. He can make that happen, can't he? We could pack out Wembley and we're getting so distracted. We're in Antwerp, which is a lovely city, I'm sure. I've never been there. Have you been to Antwerp?
I haven't. Well, I've driven through it once. I drove to Amsterdam and we went through Antwerp and the traffic was absolutely awful. I think it's the centre of the European jewel trade, I think.
Oh, I see.
I think it is, anyway.
What are you doing in Amsterdam? Are you a sex tourist?
Don't be ridiculous. I went with my kids. We went to centre parks in just outside of Amsterdam.
The first thing that comes to mind, isn't it? They're trying to change the image of that city. We really are getting sidetracked here. I apologise. I've besmirched. 6,940 yards. You certainly wouldn't be able to putt that far. Par 71. Only 2 par fives.
Blimey. I should think so. Yeah. Besmirching me like that.
Do you remember the Belgian knockout?
No. Oh, yes, sort of. Is that thing where they had like 6 holes and stuff that?
Yes, but they had 36 holes of stroke play to qualify for the knockout stages and then 9 hole matches. 2018, 2019, that was at Rincon. And then we returned as a 72 hole stroke play event last year. We've got a bit of drizzle this week, light to moderate breezes, temperatures around 15°C. It's a tree-lined track with loads of short par 4. So if you're hitting it straight, and you're putting well, you're in business. You want a precise poodle for the soodle.
Oh, very good. I like that. I don't like the weather forecast. This weather is absolutely diabolical, isn't it? Absolutely rubbish.
You just no consistencies and no consistency.
Consistently average. It's awful. It's so bad, honestly. I've got a little 2-day mini break with my daughter. I'm taking my daughter to Barcelona this. And the weather forecast is absolutely awful.
Oh, blimey, even in Barcelona, weren't they talking about 40°C the other day?
Yeah, they were, but certainly not in Barcelona, unfortunately, mate. It's been one of my first returns, I think, since we got caught out there in the Kevin Pauline with the ash cloud.
Yeah.
So I'll be able to revisit some of our old haunts there. But
you go to the camp now, or is it in the close season?
No, I won't. Do you remember when we had to go there and buy underwear, didn't we? We had to buy Barcelona pants because we were stuck in Barcelona. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you bought that megaphone, didn't you? Do you remember?
I do remember. Yeah, yeah. So it's all in the award-winning book, isn't it? The 2020 book. And I had to buy junior pants. They're very, very tight fit because they don't expect adults to be buying Barcelona pants.
Those were the days. Righto, who's the main tip?
It's Jorge Campillo at 20-1, who is a 3-time DP World Tour champion, enjoying one of the most consistent spells of his career. He's a 36-year-old who seems to be loving life. He's just gliding along in his home circuit without care in the world, picking up healthy checks. His form figures from his last 5 starts are 4-1-9-3-8. The victory is the top 10s for fun. The victory came in the Kenya Open in the middle of March, a cozy 2-shot success. This is just a really good all-rounder in this grade. Smooth swing, not much can go wrong. Soft hands around the greens. The Kenya Open venue, tight tree-line track. He's got another one of those this week. And we already know that he likes this venue. In the Belgium knockout, you had 36 holes of stroke play, as I mentioned. Campillo topped the leaderboard after the stroke play section in 2018, lost in the quarterfinals of the match play to the eventual champion, Adrien Ortegueyi. Campillo didn't play in the other Belgian knockout, so he made his rink run return last year. He arrived in miserable form, still finished 15th in the soodle.
Nice. You make a very strong case there, I must say. Who are you going to supplement Campillo with?
Ewan Ferguson, 50-1. Who seemed rusty on his return to action last week. He missed the cut in Italy after 5 weeks off. I think he'd go back in the groove this week at a course which suits him. Ferguson made his Rinkven debut in the 2019 Belgian knockout, finished 3rd. Lost in the semi-finals to the eventual champion, Guido Migliozzi. He was 467th in the world rankings coming into that event, Ferguson. He was a DP World Tour maiden and he had no chance, finished 3rd. This time, 146th in the world, 2-time DP World Tour champion. You know, I'm a big fan of this lad. He's accurate. He's made for Rinkven. And before he took that long break, he was looking fantastic. He was 3rd in the STC Championship, 4th in the Johnson Workwear Open. So he could get a DP World Tour hat trick this week for sure.
He's the namesake of that new kid breaking through at Brighton, isn't he? The young Irish striker. Is he called, he's called Ewan Ferguson, isn't he? Am I right?
Is he? Yeah. Not watching much Premier League football at the moment. I know they got a spanking last night, didn't they, the Brighton ones?
Very much so. Okay, are we done with that tournament?
I think we are. We must mention Alexander Bort. You said 16-1 there. He's being very well backed. Well, just because he's very, very close to selection. He looks a rock solid top 20, but he just doesn't win enough to back him at those prices. Well, as soon as the early money came for him, I had to move on.
What should we do next? Live or seniors?
Live.
Right. So Live Golf Tulsa we've got this week. It's the usual format. Friday start, 48 runners. 10-1 the field, 10-1. I still like doing that. Do you ever do that? Talk like a bookmaker.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Take 11 away.
Exactly. It's mad that, isn't it? Yeah. 10-1 the field, Brooks Koepka and Taylor Gooch. And then it's 11-1 Cameron Smith, 14-1 Dustin Johnson, 16 Joachim Niemann and Patrick Reed, 18 Mito Pereira, 20 Chucky Three Sticks. That's Charles Howell III in plain English, and Sergio Garcia. And 22 bar. Tournament takes place in Tulsa, but what precise venue, Steve?
Cedar Ridge Country Club, Broken Arrow, which is a suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma. 7,213 yards, par 70, 2 par 5s. There's a creek that runs through the course. The greens are heavily undulating. We've got long par 3s. We've got some long par 4s. We've got some stiff breezes in the forecast for round 1. So this looks like one of the tougher tests the Live boys will have all year. $20 million in the kitty for. I get bored saying this. It's the same every time. $20 million in the kitty. $4 million to the winner. 48 runners, 54
shotgun start.
Shotgun start. 6:15 PM UK time on Friday. Watch it on the Live Golf Plus app, but go careful with your data. I discovered the other day that I'd spent a fortune on my data during Live Golf Mayakoba. Yeah, I watched the Saturday of Live Golf Mayakoba in a public house. Obviously, didn't have any Wi-Fi or anything. It cost me an absolute fortune. So there's a little warning there for punters.
Okay. Right then, how many tips have you got?
Two.
Okay. Can you make quite a long case for your first one? Because I've got a cold and I've got to go out of shot, mute myself and blow my nose. So you carry on while I am doing that.
Would be my pleasure. The number one selection for Live Golf Tulsa is Taylor Gooch at 10-1, who is bidding to win three consecutive Live Golf events. There are a pair of three-peats this week that I think a lot of punters will ignore just because they are three-peats. You'll have punters saying, like this lad Bruce Millington, they'll be going, surely KH Lee can't win another Byron Nelson.
I'd never say that. I've never doubted the three-peat potential in my life.
Have you not? But there'll be lots of punters just looking at it and just saying, I won't go back.
It's a different type of three-peat, this, isn't it? Gooch.
Yeah, this is another one. But you'll get a punter saying, Taylor Gooch can't win another one. But my answer to both of those questions is, both those assertions, is why not and why not? And, because it's entirely feasible we get two three-peats this week. The frightening thing for Gooch's rivals is that this week's venue suits him much better than the two he's just conquered. He had hardly any experience of golf in Australia or Singapore. Wins in Adelaide, wins in Singapore. This week, he's teeing up in his home state at a course he knows well, and a course which plays massively to his strengths. He's an Oklahoma man through and through, went to Oklahoma State University, Cedar Ridge, dreamy for him. Gooch's strength is accuracy. This is a tough par 70, lots of trouble spots. Wind in the forecast. Yeah, so I see the local hero giving the fans what he wants.
Excellent. And if it's not him, who might it be?
It is 20-1, Chucky Three Sticks, Charles Howell the Third, another former Oklahoma State University star. Howell looked like a potential world number one when he was at Oklahoma State. He was a fantastic amateur, so much early promise. His bank manager would say that he's delivered on that promise. He's absolutely loaded. I thought he'd win majors, though. I suppose there's still time for him to win majors if he gets into any of them. He's off the mark on the Live circuit. He won Live Mayakoba the track. He's just a consistently solid performer these days. Yes, he's a stiff ball striking test. That's right up his street. 20-1 with five each way places, Chucky's Three Sticks.
Yeah, the bank balance is good. The mantelpiece less so. Is that a fair way of saying it?
That's a fair way of saying it. But I remain a big fan. He's only in his early 40s. If he can just qualify for some majors, I think he's capable of winning one.
Okay. Would you put me off a little side bet on Brooks Koepka at a double figure price?
I couldn't put you off. I mean, it was a toss up between Koepka and Gooch. I think, Koepka for me is probably the most distracted player in the regards to the USPGA. You remember the old Koepka, didn't give a monkeys about regulation events. It's all about the majors. Now he's got that self-belief back after second place in the Masters. I think he's focused on that. He might be trying a few things this week. I'm not sure. But yeah. Koepka's in great nick. I don't want to put you off him, that's for sure.
I hear you. OK, and finally, we've got the Regions Tradition, which is a seniors tournament. Some great old names. I went right through the field there, Stephen. I've backed so many of these players down the years. There's some lovely old names, isn't there? I see old Lenny, yeah. Lenny Matisse is in the field, isn't he? All our old friends from yesteryear. And it's a brilliant field. And we've got another hot favourite, Steve Stricker, 15-4. And then Padraig Harrington is 5-1. Stephen Alka is 6s. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 11. Ernie Els, 14. Bernard Langer, 16. My old mucker David Toms is 18. Jerry Kelly, he's 20. Always plays with a smile on his face. And it's 25-1. Alex Checker and last week's runaway winner, Stephen Ames, 30-1. Tell us all about the venue and then we'll get your tips.
It's the Greystone Founders Course, Birmingham, Alabama. 7,277 yards, par 72. We have a field of 78 going to post. There's no cut. The Founders Course has staged this event since 2016. It's a long track by Champions Tour standards, relatively short rough. So, it favours the big hitters.
And it is a major, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The first of the seniors majors.
Favours the big hitters. Right, then. I think, from what I remember you saying earlier, you've got one tip, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And that is?
That is Padraig Harrington. You just said 5-1. I'm guessing that means the 11-2 is gone.
Well, no, I'm only looking at one particular bookie. There might be a bit 11-2.
I think the bookie that you're looking at was the 11-2, but 5-1 still a great price. I think this is the man to beat. He's still got incredible length off the tee for a 51-year-old. He can still keep up with the guys on the normal tour. You know, he can outdrive the young studs. You know, certainly one of the longest drivers on the round belly circuit. I think only Robert Carlson could compete with him. And Harrington is not actually a round belly. You know, it's a bit besmirching him. He's keeps himself in good shape. He's a hard worker. He's an inspirational character in many ways, Harrington. A lot of good work off the course, does instructional videos and whatnot. But
he's so enthusiastic, isn't he? I wish I had the Padraig Harrington mindset to life.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Padraig Harrington is a man to aspire to be. You know, he's.
Mind you, looking at you, the last two shows, your pecker has been right up, hasn't it? So maybe it's the Steve Palmer approach to life. You're loving it, aren't you?
Well, Weymouth FC and Adrian Moronk have had a lot to do with that, but hopefully my pecker can stay up. And Harrington's pecker is always up, as you say. And the region's tradition is a great opportunity for him to win a second major title, a seniors major title. He hasn't played in many of these, and he's already won one. He's won four times on the Champions Tour. Last season was his first full season on the round belly circuit, and he won four times, and one of them was a major, the US Open. His major form figures in full are 2:21.2. So he was second.
2:21.2. Yeah.
Yes.
Not 2:21.2.
No. 2:21.2. He was second in the region's tradition on his debut 12 months ago. So this time he returns with some course knowledge. Bear in mind, I mean, come on. No. When I say what I'm about to say, it's just like, why is he not favourite? You know, he finished fourth in the Abu Dhabi Championship on the DP World Tour in January. He finished 10th in the Texas Open on the PGA Tour last month. I mean, I just don't see Steve Stricker being able to do either of those things. Stricker's got a great course record, but remember, he's 5 years older than Harrington. Old father time catches up with us all eventually.
That Steve Walker's good, isn't he?
He's good.
Golf. I mean, I don't remember him being that crash hot as a main tour pro, but he's really coming to his own, isn't he?
No, it just goes to show what's possible. You know, I often think maybe if I knuckle down now, I might be at a peak for the round belly circuit at the age of 50. You know, I've got sort of 5 years to go. But you're right. Yeah, Alka won last week in a regulation event. He's a regular major threat. So, yeah, the market's dominated by those three. But for me, it's Harrington all the way because he can overpower the other two. Yeah.
Well, I'm playing in the Ed Chamberlain Golf Day at the Belfry on Monday. And Paul Keighley's given me a new tip of keep your left arm straight on your backswing. I always had a very sort of spaghetti-like left arm. I've been hitting it so well and so far, and I'm a good bit older than Pod, so yeah, there's life in us old dogs yet, I reckon. Talking of mantelpieces, I'm clearing some space for Monday. I think Monday night there'll be a trophy on there.
Well, Steve Stricker has a very straight arm on the way back, so you might become the new Steve Stricker if you put your mind to it.
That would be nice. I'd love to be the new Steve Stricker. Okay, anything else to add, or should we just reiterate and get out of here?
Got a lot to reiterate, haven't we?
We have. Right then, 5 for the Byron Nelson.
Kyung-hoon Lee, Davis Riley, Taylor Montgomery, Joseph Bramlett and Pearson Coody.
The Soudal Open.
Jorge Campillo, otherwise known as Jorge Campillo, Ewan Ferguson.
Liv Tulsa.
Taylor Gooch and Charles Howe.
And the region's tradition.
Padraig Harrington.
Brilliant. Well done, Steve. God, what a week, eh? It's chocker, isn't it? Golf all around the clock. Are you going to hunker down, or have you got anything else to spice up your life and keep the euphoria going?
It's my son's birthday this week. Tommy Tiger turns 4 on Friday. So,
they grow up so quickly, don't they?
It's astonishing, isn't it? I bought him a new snooker cue for his birthday present. So, I'm going to stick three candles on the cake and then a big snooker cue in the middle. That's the plan.
Is he interesting? That's his latest, isn't it? Yeah, because he did golf, then Arras, And now it's snooker, isn't it? You've got him an actual snooker cue.
Yeah. It's about that long. Yeah, a shorter one. It's perfect for him. So, yeah, when it's raining, we play snooker now rather than go out in the driving rain, putting him off golf for life. So, yeah, that's the plan. Then we must mention each-way quadruples. I know you don't like me getting too carried away, but the last time we tried an each-way quadruple, we got three full places. Are you even aware of that? Kazuki Higer denied us a massive each-way payout there. So can I just nominate one?
Please do.
Obviously, the number ones in all tournaments. Jorge Campillo, Kyung-Hoon Lee, Taylor Gooch, Padraig Harrington. That pays about 35,000 to one, I believe.
Wow. I wonder how much the place would pay. You should calculate that as well, because that's quite interesting, isn't it?
I should. But yeah, I fancy us. As you say, I'm riding the crest of a wave.
Okay. So a 10p each way fourfold there would net $3,500 plus the... Oh, that includes the place as well, doesn't it?
Sorry, I wasn't really listening.
You're horrified that I pop a 10p bet there, aren't you? I'm taking this responsible gambling thing too far, don't you?
No. Gamble responsibly. I was urging caution on someone else. Data responsibly. I'd like to. That's probably more expensive than gambling sometimes if you get your data wrong on your Wi-Fis and all that. So, data responsibly, gamble responsibly.
Okay, mate. Good. I like that. That's a good motto. We're back next Tuesday for a big one. It's the second major of the year, the USPGA. So hopefully you can join us for that. In the meantime, many thanks, Steve. Great stuff. Many thanks to producer Will. Most of all, as always, thank you very much for joining us on the Sweet Spot. Let us know who you fancy this week. And if you get the winner, we'll give you a shout on next week's Sweet Spot.